Well, I was, as I sat up, stood up here, and was just kind of meditating on everything we've heard so far, and the Lord isn't even done yet. But all I could think of is Psalms 103 when he said, "Bless the Lord, oh my soul." Not "bless the Lord, let me hear you," or whatever. It's "bless the Lord, oh my soul. Have you heard the word of God that has gone forth? Well, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul." And I love this. "Forget not all his benefits." But then when you go down, you're going to see who? Who was it? Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Who was it that healed all your diseases? Who is it that redeemeth thy life from destruction? Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfies the mouth, your mouth? Is it satisfying? Have you tasted and seen that the Lord is good? Are you eating this? Is it becoming a part of you? Yes, you know, you can eat it. But when you know it's becoming a part, you're going to have these trials. These bitter things are going to come to pass. But just say, "Praise the Lord, oh my soul." He is putting it into practicality in our life. You see, provisionally, we have been given everything. But it's greater when you're saying, "It is mine, mine. Blessed be his name. This is all mine that he has given to us." We couldn't heal ourselves. He's the one who made known his righteous acts, his righteous judgment. It's him who made our ways. I always loved Isaiah 55:11 because it has to become practical. As much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel. And that's every one of us. We are preaching Christ through your lives every day. Do others see Jesus in you? Because they're passing through, they're walking, and there's so many things. I love Vicky Moot's message that it's really God's message. He wanted us to know we are carrying baggage, and hoarding is unsafe. It'll make you fall. You can bump into all kinds of things, but it was like hoarding. She brought out a little bit of it, but you know, the Lord was laying on my heart, and it was the anger, the bitterness, the envy, strife, malice. How much of that are we carrying? Are we really claiming and reckoning with God that I've died with Christ? You see, when those things rise up in us, we have to say, "Lord, I believe. Savior, raise my faith in thee. I don't want this part of my life." Endeavoring, whatever it takes, endeavoring to keep the unity. How beautiful is unity among the saints? Our brother said last night, the quiver. Children, think of that. Say, I'm not one who likes to have a lot of children, but 3 was enough for me, but mom had 8. Now you think of that. If you train up the child in the way they should go, when that family ever has a trial or a tribulation, how many arrows? How many? What is it that's going to stand against the devil? Let him that stole steal no more. It's like, because when a family's going through difficulty, the other ones are making intercession. They are praying. They're believing God, sometimes holding up their hands, maybe just holding up someone's hands. You're walking in the word. You are restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Because we all know that you could be in the same place doing the same thing until we realize that. It's all but for his grace. And I think of, Lord, when I sat down to write notes, which I can't hardly do that anymore, but it's like, magnify. We are here to magnify the grace of God. Remember, it is his grace. He's the God of all grace. He's the God and Father of all of us who were walking by his grace. It's his grace that is sufficient. We don't have that on our own. I can't do this, Lord, on my own. Don't get caught up in, I can't. Get caught up in, humble yourselves before the Almighty God. He will give you grace in the very time you need it. He is our very present help in the time of trouble. Do we realize how wonderful it is that we can bow our knees before our Father and ask Him to come in for whatever need it is? Because He's the one that does the healing. He's the one that does everything we just said. And that's when true worshipers in spirit and in truth, they're going to be saying, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bless you. Thank you, Lord. Look what you've done. You're the one who changed this. The song that the women sang yesterday, there's been a change. My life has been rearranged. He took things and put things, like if you take a house, I'd never put my chair there, or I'd never put this there. He does. But He also let each one of us know not to hoard. Put things in the right order. What is most important? He is. He's the God of all grace. We are His children. We are His sheep. And think of it. It's His grace. We are His sheep. And also He gives His angels charge over us. And I always like to think of His angels charge over us. Do you know God took every messenger that has come to this meeting and gave them the word of God to bring forth to each one of us? He gave His angels charge over us to keep us. Keep us in the right way. I want you to think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You can go over to Daniel chapter 3. And I'm not going through all these verses. I'm just to say that they knew, they had been told, at what time you hear all this music. Anybody hear music in the world today? There's so much music. But don't be caught up in the trickery of the devil. Oh, come to this, because it's music, music, music. It's the word of God. That's why I love singing songs with grace. It's those songs. That's why I love Grace and Glory Songbook. You're singing the word of God. We did a lesson once, or the Lord did. I know whom I believed, and I'm persuaded that He's able. He's the one. Think of the song and all those words. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know He's there. I know whom I believed. He's the one who's going to do it. I don't know if it's going to be a beautiful day, but see, God's saying, I want you to know every day in me is beautiful. Every trial. I used to go, I don't want no tribulation. But that, it should become, you're not going to look at the tribulation. You're going to look what you're going to get for Him to bring more glory unto Him. When I looked at this and they said, if you don't bow down, they told Him what was going to happen. People, I believe things are going to be written soon. I just feel that in my heart. We're going to have to make a decision. I choose to believe God. I will not. Even if it means there's no food. Where do we get our food from? He said, I shall provide. We are not going to have to beg for bread, but you are going to have to do what? I choose to believe God. It's a choice. We don't want to be fooled. But I look down in verse 17 because it was told, and they were asked, is this true? Is this true you're not bowing down? You think of it in all that place. How many people did not bow down? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But here's what they said, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so. To think that this is any trial we go through. I don't care if just say trial. Anything that you're going through. If it be so, our God whom we serve, get this, He is able. He is able to deliver us from the burning, fiery furnace. He will deliver us out of thy hand, O King. He will do this. They don't see it. They're believing it. They knew who their God is. They know. And they know who they're believing in. They're not believing in their self-works or, oh, I better believe harder and I better be. No. He giveth you the faith. It's all him. And what he has laid in your heart, as much as in you, that's grace. He put a divine influence in your heart. And that's what we need to look at him. There's a falling away. They don't want to hear his word. They don't want the word of God. Think of that. Who is the word? Jesus. Who is the word? That'd be terrible if you love someone so much and they just ignore you all the time. They don't want to love you. That's bad. And it hurts. And that will become practical. You will try to love people and they will not love you. But are you supposed to do what? Forgive. How much has Jesus loved you? How much did he show his power to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? How much of love have you experienced? We say, Jesus loved us. No, no. I want you to really think about it. Meditate on that. He loves me. How much does he love you? If someone comes out and go, well, how much did he love you? Well, you ask a little child, this much. Okay? We think of all the love. Don't look at what he took us out of and all this stuff. What did he already do? He loved us while we were sinners. While we were yet sinners, he loved us. How much more will he do now that you are his child, his son? How much more is he going to do? As long as he's there and he's not going to leave us nor forsake us, no matter where you're at, do you want to be in the center of God's will? Okay, well, they were there, and it says, be it known unto thee, O King, we will not serve thy gods. We will not worship the golden image that you have set up. You tell somebody that when they have power and they have authority. Go to the President of the United States. Tell him, I am not going to do what you say. God told me no. You go to them. Their face will change when the dogs at the house don't listen to me. My countenance changed. When my children wouldn't listen, my countenance would change. It's like, you're going to listen to me. But then the Lord will take you down a nice, lovable road instead of, you will listen to me. There's so much more by just showing kindness. They said, no, we're not going to do it. They got thrown in. Exactly what they were told was going to happen to them. But I love this. As three men, they took them, they threw them in the fiery furnace, 7 times hotter. They were bound. And where were they thrown? Get this. In the midst of that fiery furnace. Are you in the center of God's will? He's with you. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and he rose up in haste. Here, this burning fiery furnace, and he's looking. These men had fallen down right in the midst. And he goes, what? Didn't we put 3 men in there? Who is this? There's 4. And he answered and said, lo, I see 4 men. And all 4 of those men are loose. And they're not laying down. They're walking. They've been loose. They've been made free. Even in the midst of the furnace. And I was thinking, someone said, let everything that hath breath, let him praise the Lord. You know what? Do we even care about just taking a breath? You're still alive. You're alive. He's there. He's giving you breath. Praise the Lord. The enemy would have us like, I know, and I got breath, but yeah, but look at this and look at that and look, all that's going to do, and that's what it's for, is to bring you down. But humble yourselves under the mighty, remember, it's a mighty hand. His arm is strong. He said, the mighty hand of God, and he is going to give you humble people. He's going to give you his grace. His grace, his, is sufficient. It's what's going to change us. So I look over and I want us to go to Romans chapter 5. I know I do this one a lot, and I even told the Lord, I said, Lord, are you sure? But this was before the meeting. Romans chapter 5. People, we got so much more than a tribulation. I looked up in chapter 4, the last one, it said, who was delivered for our offenses, who was raised again for our justification. Okay, people, let's get it. Who was it that was delivered for our offenses? Him, Christ. The joy that was set before him. Now, he's the author and finisher of our faith. He's the one. And we have a joy set before us. Him. Him and what he's done and his grace and how it is sufficient. He was raised, I always like this, again for our justification. When was the first time he was raised up on a cross? The next time he raised, it was resurrection. We're in that resurrected one. Chapter 5, therefore, what happens because of that? Being justified. You don't have to go around and justify what you do all the time. I don't have to justify my works, my ways, my walk, my talk. You're already justified, okay? So do you feel that rest and that peace? You are justified. You're justified by faith because you are a new creation. You're a brand new man. Old things passed away, and behold, all things will become new. So here we are. We're justified. We believe that new life, it's genuine. We have something. We have peace. We have peace with God. Why? Because who was delivered up for us, the one who was raised up for us, we have peace with God. God accepted all that Christ went through. So no matter what, my sins are behind his back forever. We just need to claim this. It is mine, mine. Peace with God. He's not angry. Enjoy the peace with God, but also enjoy the peace of God, because he's not anxious. We are. But see what I say? Now we have to come to him. Lord, I need more grace. I need more grace. Peace with God through who? Our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom now we have something even greater. We get to come and access into the faith, into this grace wherein we stand. Come boldly. He invites us. Come boldly into the throne of God and ask for grace and get the mercy that's needed. It's the grace wherein we stand. Rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Here it is again, the glory. Enter into the glory. Not only so, but here we go. Now look at all you've been given and you say, now not only so, but we, who is we? All of us, we're new creations. We're justified. We're in resurrection, a new life. We have so much to be excited about. He said, we glory in tribulations. You are not going to start out going, oh, I love this trial I'm going through. That's not going to happen. But it will come to pass, I'm telling you, it'll come to pass. You're going to go through hard times, and it may press this stuff. But let me tell you, on the inside, there's going to be a peace that passeth all understanding. He's going to give you the grace. That's how you're going to stand, and you'll go, am I getting hard-hearted? Why don't I care? What's wrong with me? You're resting. You don't have to do anything when you're resting. Just worship. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. in spirit and in truth because you heard the word of God. Tribulation, knowing, you have to know it. Somebody said that yesterday. Knowing that tribulation, it's for you. It's not to be against you. Think it not strange. Why is this fiery trial happen? Don't think it strange. This is needed. It's just for but a little while. No, to the natural man, that sounds foolish. Well, it sure seems long to me. But the Lord said, no, it's just a little while. I'm doing a work in you. Not only so we glory in that in the tribulations. Notice it has an S on it. Wonder how many that is. You see, but get it. It's like, yeah, there could be 1,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000, It's not yours in the second one or the hundredth one. It's all going to be turned to God. Turn to Him. He's the only one who can change anything. Knowing tribulation, I got to know it's worketh patience. It's working that patience. And then when you have that patience, it's going to bring experience. And I want you to just go back to tribulation and think, is it illness? Is it, I can't have a child, barren? The Word of God's full of them. Barren women, but God. But God, there's a change. But God is, He'll change even the desire of your heart. Things that used to matter to you are not going to be that way anymore. When God really gets that word down in here, every time there is a discomfort in my heart, I have to ask, I need more grace, Lord. I need more grace. Knowing that tribulation is working patience, now you're getting experience. My granddaughter is experiencing what it means to have lupus, what it means that you need a really good diet for this disease. But know who healed her of all her diseases. See, when Jesus come, will I find you standing and believing you're healed? See, we may experience these different things, but I love what Job, he had to come, my ear, I hear you, Lord. I hear what you're saying. But I'll tell you what, it's greater when he says, "Ooh, but now my eye seeth thee. I had a revelation. I can see what you're doing." He's making it so real to us. So you got your tribulation, and I just want you to put whatever it is, whatever that's bothering you, remember, it's working. It's for you. It's bringing patience. It's making you to where you experience something. Something maybe someone down the road is going to go through this. Do you know what? You're the one that I want to come in my path. You're the one I want because if you've experienced the grace of God, I know you're going to show it. And experience is going to bring you hope. But hope maketh not ashamed. Why? Because the love of God. You see here, it starts all in love. I love you. You see, I love you. And that's what he says. I love you. Won't you let me just love you? He said, I love you, but the love of God is going to be shed abroad by the Holy Ghost in your heart. How much has Jesus forgiven you? Each one has maybe a different answer. What has he forgiven you of? What is it things people don't even know? And he forgave you. You see, he said, I want you as to the one who is loved a lot. He's the one who's going to love a lot. He really is. When you see how much he's loved you, that's going to be your embrace to those around you. You will want to love them. It doesn't mean you're going to be accepted. You're already accepted in the beloved. You love them as unto the Lord and leave the rest in his hands. He's working in every one of us that are sitting here. And if he's not, you wouldn't be here. I believe he's doing a work. He's saying, how much have I forgiven you? Well, I want you to forgive that way then. How much have I forgiven you, Penny? How much have I loved you? I told you to continue in my love wherewith I have loved you. And I don't know if someone said this yesterday, but every time I hear that, that's my first love. That was real love. I think that's the same way with a man and a woman. You love them just the way they are. He's your wife. He's your husband. I'm your wife. You're my husband. Does it mean you're going to agree with everything? But agree with God. Love them as I have loved you, even when they don't deserve it. Forgive them, even when they don't deserve it. See, to me, that's deep love. That's deep. That's grace. You see, not because I did anything to deserve it. That's why people, when they come into this grace message, they'll go, why me, Lord? Why me? Because I love you. I love you. I came and made a way that you would be able to endure everything I put you through. He said, there is no temptation but such is common to man. Nothing. You're not going to be tempted with something. You know, these temptations are going to be here until the work is finished provisionally. Practicality. Practicality. Maintain the building. Allow the Lord to give you grace to keep going. I love, don't look back. Because if you do, you're going to pick up baggage. You're going to pick up your anger, your bitterness, your strife, your envying. You'll pick that baggage up just as fast as you did the first time. Don't do that. Put on the new man, whose holiness, he's kindness, he's joy, he's peace, he is long-suffering. Think of those words. How long-suffering have I been to you? That's how much you're going to be able to be long-suffering to anybody else. How much have I had to forbear? How long has our Lord patiently waited for the fruit to be in our lives? How long are we patiently waiting for the fruit for maybe your children, maybe your friends, maybe your own life? But if you continue in the faith, keep pressing on, and all you want to do is, Lord, I want to love you more. Just ask him, Lord, I want to love you more. Because the more I love you, the more I'm going to be able to love. I used to always say that. I don't love them. Why do you say you love those people? And then I hear you talking about them all the time. I never could get that. But the Lord says, now, we want our mouth, not hers and his or anybody else. You, it's easy to go. It's like, Penny, I want your mouth. When it opens up, I'm going to give you the grace. So he spoke it. I want your mouth to minister grace to the hearers. Don't judge them with your mouth. I mean, I'm serious. This gets so, when you get it in your practical life, you could be talking, it's like, maybe you didn't do anything. Well, why do you have to say anything? Be quiet. You're not ministering grace to the hearer. And that's what I think all of our desire is. You're going to have that temptation. It'll come, and it's like, and I'm just using me as an example. The Lord will say, don't say that. Shh, don't say that. And I go, I know, but it'll be okay. You know, the devil right there. It's okay. You can trust this person right here. They're not going to say nothing. Be careful. Be careful. Once it comes out of your mouth, we don't want to spread defilement. I mean, I'm using me, guys. I'm saying the Lord has dealt with my heart. Open your mouth and minister grace to the hearers. And if it's not there to say anything, be slow to speak. Be slow to anger. I know I'm going to get tested on this now. It happens, trust me. Sometimes before I ever get out of church, this message, he makes it real. But I go, you know what? Well, then I swallowed it. And it's becoming real, and he's making it practical. You see, you've got to take that power and the glory that you've been given, and it's all Jesus, and just say, yeah, he's working in me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Worship him. Praise him. Even if the sickness is there. Even if this is there. Because God has it. You're in his hands. And nothing, no one is going to be able to separate you from what? The love of God. Nothing. There is nothing and no one. Not a disease. There's nothing. I think someone texted me and said, and at first I went, what? Your granddaughter got what she needed. And I was like, what does that mean? Oh, she needed this trial. She needed it. God knows what she has need of. I know. But she's in his hands. And you'll have peace if you just believe. Whatever the circumstance, you don't have to change the circumstance, Lord. You don't have to change it. But give me the grace to continue on. And don't try to do it in yourself, because you'll fall down. It's not make yourself look pretty and be nice. It's not that. It's deep. This is a deep love. So let's all stand and just continue in the same love wherewith I have loved you. So you have your joy set before you. Aaron, you want to dismiss us?